You've been sitting for a long time, and if you'll find Ephesians, the third chapter, and the 14th verse, I'll ask you to stand while we read some scripture. Shall we stand? Ephesians chapter 3. We might even have a bass drum while we're marching around. Get the whole band. Lord, help us to get on this scripture now, right? For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the sense of your presence today. As the group sang, there are times when we need to come to you and say, Lord, we don't want anything except to tell you that we love you. We want more of you. But tonight, Lord, we do ask that you would speak to us through your word. Speak, we pray, not necessarily what we want to hear, but speak what we need. At our point of need, we pray that you'll meet us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in your heart. The difference between living in a place, that is, that's your address, and being thoroughly at home in a place may be a point that's too well taken. But the fullness of the Spirit of God opens the way for Christ to really be at home within our hearts. When we talk about the mystery of Christ living within the heart of the believer, we're talking about one of the very basic, one of the cardinal mysteries of the faith. Something which we cannot explain. We cannot completely understand. It's right in line with the divine human mystery of the incarnation. No one can explain Jesus Christ, how he is very God and how he is very man. How he is human, how he is divine. And yet we believe that that's exactly what Jesus Christ is. No one can explain this Bible, how it was authored by human beings, and yet in a very real sense it was authored by God, until its inspiration is like the inspiration of no other book, until it speaks to us of salvation. It is the living Word of God. And in the very same way, this mystery of faith that makes us really one with Jesus, that he lives within our hearts, perhaps it cannot be explained, but it can be experienced and it must be experienced. There's no confusion of the personalities. I can tell the difference between Jesus and me in my heart. Even when I'm sanctified wholly and given wholly to him, I still have a will of my own. I still have an identity of my own, and yet in a very real sense, he lives in me, and we share very life. We are one. The mystery of Christ living within our hearts. But when Paul speaks here about praying for the Ephesians that the Holy Spirit might strengthen them with power so that Christ might dwell in their hearts, he was speaking here of Christ being a permanent resident, of being thoroughly at home within the heart. And I'd just like to look this evening. You can make your own outline, your own sermon. You may leave me at some point here. But I'd like to look at a number of things that it means to have Christ really at home within our heart. Not just living there. It's important that he live there. But did you know it's possible to have Christ within and yet not to really fully make him thoroughly at home? That's what Paul's praying for these people. Did you consider that having Christ resident within our hearts is a tremendous privilege? The privilege. There's the first thing in my outline, privilege. The privilege of Christ resident and being at home instead of just living there or guesting. I think one man that I respect in the church or out of the church as much as anybody else in the world is Dr. William Greathouse. And I've used him as an example because you can't say I'm putting him down. But he's been a guest in my home. I only had one general superintendent be a guest in my home. And I've admired Dr. Greathouse for a number of years. Matter of fact, before he left Trevecca, he wrote the introduction for the little book I wrote. And I've admired him. But when he came to be a guest, he was here for revival a year or so ago. Just the privilege of having him as a guest in my home, it kind of got to me. I picked him up at the airport and I thought, boy, Dr. Greathouse is really coming to my house. Short poem. I drove right past the exit on the expressway. I got off at the wrong place and Dr. Greathouse, very kind, wonderful to have. He got down on the floor and played with my son's dog when he was there. Just a warm human being, but he said, I believe you're lost. And I said, yes, I guess I am. The idea of this great, wonderful, relaxed person, I think, you know, my home was honored to call him a guest, and yet the most honored person I can think of living as a guest, taking meals in the home, it's different. It changes the family's lifestyle. It's not like he is really a full-fledged member of the family. Now, I wouldn't mind making him a full-fledged member, I'm sure. But, you know, if he did come to live, there would be differences that were made. We'd have to clean out a dresser for him, and he'd take his socks out of his suitcase and put in the drawer. And then there would be chores that he would probably have to do. And we couldn't just keep on feeding him forever. He'd have to contribute to the household. You see the difference. And no matter how honored a guest is, no matter how much you love him, no matter how much he makes you feel as though you're accepted, there's a difference between someone who is there and you're on your best behavior. Not that you shouldn't be kind and loving to your family. You certainly should be. But you know what I'm talking about. The difference between being a wonderful guest and someone who is really at home. And what a privilege of having not this great man, Dr. Greathouse, but having Jesus Christ. He doesn't wait until we're absolutely perfect before he unpacks his bags and puts his socks in the drawer. He's there to stay. What a privilege to have Jesus Christ resident within the heart. He's come not for a little while, not come to honor and grace and then go on. But he's come to live. Then I think of the intimacy of Christ resident within the heart. There are no secrets that are kept from this, really not a member of the family, because it's a smaller unit than that. It's just you and Jesus. But as Jesus comes into your heart to be a resident there, as Christ dwells in your heart, as the Holy Spirit cleanses your heart to make it possible for Jesus Christ to be at home there, the intimacy of the relationship, until there are absolutely no secrets. I think I have mentioned two or three times before about how, as I was praying last year and I was trying to explain my motivation to the Lord, and perhaps someone who wanted to be critical would think, well, you probably had something selfish in mind there. And I was on my knees and I was saying, now, Lord, you know my, this is why, and just as clear, it was kind of humorous, but he said, Russell, you don't have to explain that to me. He knows. The intimacy of knowing. By the same token, you can't fool him either. You know, no one's a super Christian to a husband or to a wife or to a dad or to a mother or to a son or daughter. They know how you testify. You can testify beautifully here. I can testify beautifully here. You can say, boy, he's a real Christian. Ask my wife. Don't ask her. Well, what I'm saying is the people that live with you, they know. And when this intimate relationship with Jesus is such that there are no secrets even tried to be kept, Jesus becomes at home in our hearts and lives. Then we think of the responsibility of Jesus Christ being resident within the heart. Christ came to earth the first time in order to do the will of the Father in heaven. And he busied himself during the years of his ministry here on earth until in his high priestly prayer he could say, I have finished the work that you gave me to do in this assignment. But no less does Jesus have work to do now that he resides in your heart and in my heart. And if we will be doing our part to make him truly at home in us, Jesus will be doing that work. What a responsibility to be host in our hearts, that Jesus is resident there. Privilege, intimacy, and responsibility. Another thing I see about the reality of making Christ truly at home in our hearts is what I call the dawning reality of Christ resident. When you talk about the mystery of Christ dwelling in us, and then we say, I'm certain that he's there, I know Jesus, and then in the same sentence we say, I'm seeking to know him, I want to know him more. It sounds like double talk to an outsider or an unbeliever. A message like this is not for someone that doesn't know Jesus. And yet, day by day, the reality of Christ really at home within the heart becomes more and more real. And it's as though sometimes we wake up and we never really were Christian before, in the sense that the newness, the freshness, the reality of Christ's Spirit breaks in upon us. About the best analogy, it's not really a good one, is the unfolding of personalities in a reasonably good marriage. Young people think they know what love is, and they probably do. But you know, after people have walked together for 50 years. Last year, just about this time, Dad and Mother had their 50th wedding anniversary. And maybe their romance doesn't look like the same kind of romance that that young men's fancy turns lightly to this time of the year. But I want to tell you, it's a real romance. As new facets of personality are discovered and cherished, and to my way of thinking, the most beautiful love there is to see people that have lived in love together across the years and still are very much in love. And that's the way it is, the dawning reality of Christ truly at home in the Spirit-filled heart. And he makes his love known in ways that are ever new and ever fresh. He surprises us with joy, not when he as C.S. Lewis says, drags us kicking and screaming into the faith. But he surprises us with joy again and again and again. What a dawning reality of having Jesus Christ resident. And the last thing I want to mention this evening is the permanence of Jesus Christ living, being at home within the heart. All earthly relationships and joys fade. The only thing that doesn't change in our world is the fact that everything changes. This is the most beautiful time of the year as far as I'm concerned, right now. And yet it won't be long until the beauty of spring gives way to the heat of summer. And then the cool and the cold of autumn and winter. You can't stop it. But the changes that come to the heart that's indwelt by Jesus Christ are changes of increase and changes of growth in Christ-likeness. And the exquisite joy of the love of God, this sense of God's approval that's beyond all other joys, does not diminish with the years. There's a permanence. There's a settledness. It wasn't just preacher talk when Jesus said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." It's a relationship that will never disappoint. And those that have given themselves to the Spirit in answer to a prayer like this of St. Paul, that have made the Holy Spirit king of their lives so that Jesus could be at home, there's a permanence about them as well. Professor Howard said last Wednesday night in prayer meeting, we were talking about our spiritual birthdays when we had given our hearts to the Lord. And Professor Howard got up and said, "Well, I'd like to tell about when the Lord came in and filled me with his Holy Spirit." And he went on and said he'd probably change it if he were here. I never can get anything just exactly right for Prof. Howard. And he's not here to defend himself. Appreciate him so much. But he said, "You know, I wouldn't have lasted 5 years in the ministry if I hadn't really found the reality of being filled with the Holy Spirit." To ask the Holy Spirit in his fullness to make Christ truly at home in the heart, or just to be satisfied with an understanding that he's there, it may not seem crucial. But the practical difference will be the difference between your sticking as a Christian and washing out somewhere along the line when the storms of life that face us all begin to come upon us. I want to ask this evening, not just does Jesus live in your heart? That's vitally important. That miracle that takes place. Really, there are just two kinds of people, those where Jesus is and where he's not. But Paul said to the Christians at Ephesus, "I pray that Christ may strengthen you with power so that Jesus Christ can really be at home in your heart." I want to ask you this evening, has that concern gripped you? Are you just content to say, "Well, I take it for granted. I've taken by faith. Christ is there. He's living there." Paul says, if you will let Christ dwell in your hearts, you'll be able to begin to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. How do I emphasize it enough? Some of you are going to leave here. We won't have a chance to preach to you very many more times. And you never really have settled it. That what the Church of the Nazarene has tried to preach of the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit is a reality. And I challenge you to open your heart that Christ may be at home in you. That you tell him to unpack his suitcase, make himself permanent resident there. You want him to be there without reservations. Will you pray with me? Father, we pray that you will help us to answer this prayer that St. Paul prayed. We pray that the Holy Spirit may indwell each of us this evening. If there's someone here tonight that has never experienced the mystery of letting Jesus come in and save them, we pray that you will help them to humble themselves as a little child and open the door of their heart and let Jesus come in. We pray that that mystery will take place, that life will be shared, and that Christ will be at home in the heart. And then, Lord, we pray for those here tonight that have opened their heart to you, but really have never made a complete and deliberate and full consecration and surrender. And we pray that you will trouble those hearts tonight. We pray that you will challenge them by the Holy Spirit to dare to let Jesus Christ really be at home in their hearts, so they can experience this intimacy, this dawning reality, this permanence, in Jesus' holy name and for his sake. Amen.